The following program is sponsored by Seattle Open Door Church. Seattle Open Door Church is committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Our doors are open to whomever. No masks required. Seattle Open Door Church is located in downtown Burien next to the Southwest Courthouse. Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover, the senior pastor of Seattle Open Door Church in Burien.
Before we have our baptism, we're going to be baptized in Isaiah, but I want to share a couple things with you. One, we should be thankful for Kent, because almost all of you are going to get baptized this morning, because a baptismal tank overflowed, and if Kent hadn't been here, it would have been 2 hours of the water flowing everywhere. So it flooded a little bit, but not as much. So we could have had a river. We could have had a river of water flowing. And so, thank you, Kent, that you were here last night to take care of that. So, we are going to be baptizing Isaiah, and what we're going to do is let Isaiah share a few words, and then we'll get to his baptism.
Isaiah. I never thought about it until my friend Tyler asked me about it, and that's when it really hit me that Pastor Richard helped me like 85% of the time since I've been here in Washington, since 2017. He gave me a chance to live in his house. He let me be the. He didn't give up on me. And he's just been mentoring me from Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's been a great mentor in teaching me leadership. And, you know, he's even made it possible for my son to come live with me in October. And thinking about it, I wouldn't want anybody else to baptize me but Pastor Richard. So that's why I chose to be baptized today, before he leaves.
And so I'm going to share a little bit of my experience with Isaiah, that when Isaiah came into one of our houses, I was told that because of culture and other things, he is not going to be interested in the gospel. I was told that he's not going to be interested in doing Bible studies, talking about Jesus. And yet he's here getting baptized. So obviously something changed in his life. But not only that changed, but because of the life, the background he came from, he's a new creation in Christ. He's a different person than who he was in the past. And I find it a privilege to be able to baptize him. But I need to share kind of how this happened, because he was talking about him being baptized, and he says, well, he would want to get baptized with this son that comes in a few months. And so they could be baptized together. And then somebody brought up, well, then Pastor Rich won't be here to baptize you. But when your son comes to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can baptize him. And so I want the video of that. When that happens, that we believe that you do not have to be a pastor or a priest for somebody to baptize somebody. We believe that any follower of Jesus Christ can baptize somebody. So I think that's going to be an exciting time when Isaiah is able to do that with his own son, when his son comes to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And notice what I said, when his son comes to a knowledge of Christ. I didn't say if his son comes to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe his son will see the footsteps of his father. You'll see how his father has lived, how he is as a father. He will want to know more about who that Jesus is that is taking control of his life. And I believe his son will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So Isaiah, I'm going to baptize you. Are you ready? Now you know when you go under, I keep you down under the water as long as I think, until all the sin is gone. So do you need to get anything right before Jesus now? Because I don't want you to drown in this water, because that they'll hold you down. We got it already. So Isaiah, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? So by your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we want to honor you and give you glory. And even as we preach our last sermon here, I pray that somehow it will touch some lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a lot of times people say goodbye. After you talk to somebody, what does most people say? Goodbye, right? Everyone says, somebody say, I'll see you soon or see you later. But in American culture especially, we say goodbye. We're always saying goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Do you know there's other cultures, they don't use that phrase, goodbye. They say, see you later. When you hear goodbye, I want you to think about something. One of the common places for goodbye is when there's a coffin. And a person looks at that loved one, they say what? Goodbye. They're saying their last farewell. Okay? Now, listen, if they're a believer in Christ, it's not goodbye. You're going to see them in heaven. So I want us to look at that. I'm telling you that today, Carmi and I aren't saying goodbye. We're saying see you later. Now, most of you probably won't see us for a long time. I am not saying goodbye because the reality is I got work I have to do for the next 3 or 4 days still in the church. So it's not goodbye for me yet because I still have some things I have to do. But listen, some of you better show up in Arkansas. Did you hear me? We bought a house with a spare room for a purpose. Actually, I have an office that can be used as a bedroom too. So we have 2 spare rooms for a purpose. Honestly, we did that. We're older, just me and her. Why do we need a house with 3 bedrooms? Because we plan on some guests. We plan on some visitors. Okay, so I hope there's some visitors, some guests that come. But if nothing else, that we will be seeing you in heaven if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I don't know, we might bump into each other as we rise up in the clouds. Who knows? I don't know. From Arkansas to here, when you rise up in the clouds, I don't know. How fast are we going? We rise up. We might bump into each other. I don't know. This is what I know. The good news is that if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there are no goodbyes. There's just see you soon or see you later. I started thinking about what is the Bible when Apostle Paul wrote all his letters, there was always a farewell. There was always, when you close a letter, right, you kind of close it with some remarks. And I wanted to look at what did Apostle Paul say? And there's one phrase that he used over and over again. And that was, grace be with you. Over and over and over again, he'd say, grace be with you. Paul would pray for grace to be upon the church. Over and over, he says, may God's grace be upon you Ephesians, upon you Corinthians, whoever it would be. Carmi and I are praying. We're proclaiming that God's grace be on the congregations here. That God's grace, and God's grace is his unmerited favor. That God's favor would be with the church, that as I leave and another pastor comes, that there'd be great favor of God as that pastor comes. And that I absolutely believe this, I'm going to share this a little bit later, but I absolutely believe that God is going to do an amazing thing in this church. As we leave and somebody comes in, I don't know who it is, I have some ideas, the church is going to be voting in a couple weeks if that comes to pass or not. I just know this, God has something greater. And his grace is going to be there. But listen, God's grace is more than unmerited favor. God's grace is the power to walk in victory. God's grace is the power to do the will of God. Churches, do the will of God. Whatever God asks of these 2 churches to do, do it. Those who are visitors at your church, be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of God's grace working and moving. And then the other thing that Paul would say is he always would talk about the love of God towards the end. He'd either talk about God's love or his love that he has for the people. I want to tell you something. Carmen and I love you alls. See, I'm getting ready. Getting ready for Arkansas. God loves you alls, but we love you alls a whole bunch. That I've never have experienced as much love. 1979, I accepted Christ into my life. I experienced love in different churches and different environments. I've always been in some kind of a leadership position, and so I've experienced that love. But the love and acceptance here is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Samoan congregation, you've taken me on. You include me as part of you. You give me money, lays, and
candy Lays and all kinds of different things, and turn around, you've supported us, you've believed in us, you have shown love. English congregation, you've shown love. Please, I beg of you, for the next pastor that comes, show him the same love. Show him even greater love. Try to outdo yourselves in giving love and acceptance. And not just to the pastor, but every person that walks in the doors of this church. You see, it shouldn't matter if it's the pastor or if it's the homeless guy that's sleeping on the alley. One doesn't deserve more love than the other. They both deserve the same love, and that's the love of God, God's love. So I encourage you to do it. I pray that you would show much love that it bubbles out. That there's so much love that's in here that somebody walks in feeling that they can't even be loved, they can't even be accepted, feeling like they have no value, have no worth whatsoever, and you love them so much that they're overwhelmed with so much that love consumes them, transforms them, and they carry that love outside. That's the kind of love I want to see happen in this church. Is that kind of love that just keeps bubbling out, bubbling out, bubbling out. If you know me, you know my heart is not the church. It's the church and it's the community. The church that only shows love here is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ, once it walks out the door, shows love out there. So I challenge you, experience more of God's love so you can give love. Listen, I was suicidal for years as a Christian because I did not understand God's love. When you understand God's love, you don't want to take your life. When you understand God's love, you will minister to somebody who is going to take their life. When you understand God's love, something starts to change in you. Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple of exhortations. This is from Paul. The exhortation is something that turns around and builds you up, encourages you. And so one of the things that Paul said is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Paul, can you go there? This is Paul speaking. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. I would plead with you, I'm begging with you to apply those principles that are there. For the sake of the gospel, find unity. You're going to get a pastor, no matter who he is, he's not going to agree with everything that you think is right. Is that true? What you think is right. Okay? Hopefully you and him line up to the Bible. But you're not going to agree on everything, but can there still be unity? Absolutely. If you look at a puzzle, the puzzle pieces look different, but you put them all together, you have one beautiful picture. As a church, be sure that you don't let your belief system to be so strong that you'd interfere with what God may be doing to try to bring unity. Be a church that's committed to love. Be a church that's committed to have peace. Listen, you get a new pastor, I bet he'll change something that I do. Guaranteed. Some things he should change what I do. Okay? He's going to bring some changes. Okay? Hopefully he doesn't just change everything. We're checking on that, Susan, right? The committee knows that they're already. We have somebody, whoever it is going to be, the search committee's already told them, you don't get to come in here and clean house. Because if you clean house, you don't get a check. You won't stay. Okay? So there can be some changes, but can there be peace and unity in the midst of the changes? All right. What we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at the verses. We're going to break them down. So I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to break it down, and then we'll be finished. Apostle Paul is speaking to the 1 Thessalonians, he's speaking to the Thessalonian church, not the 1 Thessalonian church. The 1 Thessalonian church, and then there was the 2 Thessalonian church. He's speaking to the Thessalonian church, and this is what he said, and so I'm going to read it through so you can follow along, and then we're going to break it down. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do the good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter ready to read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Is that some good words? I think those are great words. I think those are great words to be looking at. As we say farewell, I think those are great words to take a look at. So we're going to break it down. Verse 12. Paul says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of the work. Be at peace among yourselves. I beg of you, whoever becomes the next pastor, respect them. Respect him, his wife, his family. Honor them. Show them honor. Don't put on them to be me. Whatever is good in me doesn't mean that that's what they have to be. Whoever has been bad in me, pray they're not that. Okay? But will you show them support, and will you let that person be them? You know what love does? Love lets people be who they are. Does that mean we let people sin and say, oh, it don't matter? No. But each of us have personalities. Whoever becomes the next pastor, he's going to have a different personality. I personally believe I have a rough personality at times, very rough. People that know me, that there's a deep love in me, but it doesn't always come out. I believe the next pastor that needs to be at this church needs to be a pastor that shows more of a soft, caring, tender spirit. That's what I'm praying. I think the church needs that. The church went through some stuff. There's a lot of stuff I inherited. There's a lot of change that had to take place, and there's a lot of financial problems. There are a lot of stuff we're dealing with it now. Some people know, right? We're dealing with some stuff from the past. It takes a certain person that can deal with that stuff. I would say I was that man. I was supposed to be that person. There's roles I had to take on. I was doing recovery. You have to be tough in recovery. It is time for another pastor, and let him be that pastor and receive his love, and let him be a person that's more of that happy-go-lucky person. Let him be that person that has a smile on his face and not think he's being crooked. Because you have a pastor always smiling, what some of us think? He must have something that's going on. No, he's just that guy that smiles. Let him smile. Okay, verse 13. And esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Okay, we got that. Verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Congregations, encourage those who are members of your congregations to get involved in ministry. Encourage them not to be idle. How many know that Christians are idle? Do what? What are you more likely going to do? Fall into sin? Not do the work of the ministry? So encourage one another. Hey, come on. We need help here. We need help in our congregation. Can you help here? Can you help there? Some people aren't involved in ministry, aren't involved in the church because they're discouraged, because they're depressed. Church, encourage people who are struggling. Get to know people. Listen, if a pastor comes, he's probably going to bring some people. If he brings some people in, get to know who those people are. And when a new person comes in, how about when the new person gets in to get to know who they are, so if they are faint-hearted, that you can encourage them. Keep your antenna on. Be aware of the people around you. How about working together to help those that are weak? Verse 15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Congregation, seek to do good for what's best for both groups. If you know me, I have had other groups here that we have removed. And the reason we removed them, because they didn't want to work together. They didn't want what was good. Listen, It is good to have our youth to rub shoulders together, no matter what language they speak, no matter what clothes they look like, no matter the color of the skin, what their origin is. Our young people need to be together because they need to be supported, because out there they're not supported. So it should be that our youth rub shoulders, do things together. That swimming pool, listen. In the old days, if you were black, you couldn't go in the white man pool. You do know that. And sadly, some places that's probably still true. Our pool don't color the care of the color of your skin. Don't category your background. Is that pool is for every young person that ever wants to jump in that pool and to get some fellowship and to get some love and get some burgers. So Susan, you better use that pool while I'm gone. I want use out of it, okay? We got that pool because Susan says her pool at their complex wasn't working and that their kids don't have anything to do. And I says, well, as a church, we can take care of that. And that pool might be slant and look dangerous. But we had some big Samoans in there. And it survived, okay? You know what I'm saying? This find ways that we can touch our community, whatever it is. This build up each other. This work together. And listen, listen, listen. This learn to do good to and for everyone. This don't ever think that because we're this or that, that we need to be separatist. And that doesn't mean you can't have separate services and all that stuff. My wife, listen, I joke about being jealous with her and Linda. I'm not really jealous of that. That blesses me. I know that's a good, solid friendship that my wife has. I would not want to do anything to ruin that relationship. Just don't do anything to ruin our relationships with each other. Listen, this is what Paul says, verse 16. Rejoice always. Always means what? Oh. Always means always, forever, right? When should we rejoice? Oh, wow. Rejoice always when you're going through some troubles and some legal matters. You what? You rejoice. God, thank you that you rule and reign. God, thank you that you're in charge. Thank you, Lord God, your will be done. Lord, that's all we want is your will to be done. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we don't know when we're going to have another pastor in here, but we're going to rejoice. Oh, you know what we'll do? We're not going to have praise and worship until we get a pastor. Oh, I'm glad I heard a what. Okay, we can't praise Jesus until we get the pastor. Then we'll wait and see what he's like before we give praise. No, it says what? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. What does without ceasing mean? Huh? Not stopping. So how often should we pray? Oh, no, we pray when we get up in the morning. We pray, we lay my head down, Jesus, and watch over me. Amen. No, pray without ceasing. That means when you're driving down the road, you can pray. Instead of cursing the driver next to you, how about praying for him instead? Huh? You don't like your neighbor because his chickens wake you up at 6 o'clock in the morning? Pray the chickens die or they shut up. Or how about just ask them, can I have some eggs? That's how we bribe some of our neighbors. We give them some eggs and they leave us alone. It says to pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for it is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. Do you know if our groups would start praying together, did you hear me? Praying together, there'll be more unity. There'll be more clarity. There'll be more understanding. So we have a Samoan group that's down on Monday mornings that they pray. They take over the basement, okay? And they're so loud that I can hear them in my office at times, okay? They're turning around and they're crying out to God. Now listen, I'm not going to speak for them, but Mrs. Irish, I think they would let you in even with your gray hair. They would let you in. You would have to start eating their food though, so I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. But I haven't seen any turkey tails, so I think you're okay. But joking aside, I'm not even here. I'm leaving. I'm still here. Right now I'm here. We need to pray together as a group, okay? There should be some nights. Listen. One thing I'm excited about is I am going to have less responsibilities. And I believe that one of the things God's taking me into, which is not, I'm a doer. I do. But I think he's calling me to be more of a beer. And let me tell you the difference. Mary is the doer. I mean, Martha. Martha's the doer. Mary's the beer, if you know the story. Mar just bees. She just hangs with Jesus. Martha's preparing the food. You need both. But I think God's calling me to be more of the beer, and I believe that's prayer. And so when I'm walking on my property, and I'm looking at the deer and the turkeys, and I'm listening to the stream, I'm praying that God will bring revival here. And one of the ways that revival comes is through prayer. If you can't pray together, why does God need to bring revival? Okay? Revival of souls being won, that takes prayer. So I would pray that you will pray without ceasing. And then you give God thanks for everything, whatever it is. Now verse 19, this is in the Word. It says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. Seattle Open Door Church, do not grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. If you say the Holy Spirit doesn't do certain things anymore, you're saying that the Holy Spirit has stopped some of His work. Don't buy into that. The Holy Spirit works and moves today in miraculous, powerful, and mighty ways. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not turn around and say that this can never happen in this church. And we'll cover the bad stuff in a moment. But right now, do not quench the Spirit. Let God do what He wants to do. Listen, the service is a long service this week. Next week, maybe it'll be 15 minutes. If the Spirit only wants it 15 minutes, can you live with that? If the Spirit wants it 3 hours, can you live with that? Did you hear me? What does the Spirit of God want? And you can't know what He wants unless you're in His Word and you spend time with Him. So don't grieve the Spirit, don't quench the Spirit, and don't despise prophecies.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John 1:7 says, you must be born again. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Matthew 1:15 says, repent you and believe the gospel. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord or Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org. And we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. That is thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know, if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call, toll free, anytime, 1-866-1-GOD.
You have been listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life.